We learn from our president that change we need is not easy.
Every time we come close to passing health insurance reform, the special interests fight back with everything they've got.
Okay. We've just had a demonstration of democracy. Okay.
Meanwhile, Senator Arlen Specter learns that nothing is easy about health care. Brother, can you spare some change? On The Takeaway.
All across America, this is The Takeaway from WNYC and PRI.
Change and messages on The Takeaway this morning. Good morning. It's Wednesday, August 12th. I'm John Hockenberry, joined by Celeste Headlee. Good morning, Celeste.
Good morning, John.
Coming up this hour, is running actually good for your knees? That's pretty interesting. One fitness writer says yes. And Michael Vick was conditionally reinstated to the NFL earlier this week. But how likely is it that he'll actually play? And move over France, American-made cheese is taking its share of the limelight. But first, we're joined once again by Corey Lewandowski, New Hampshire State Director for Americans for Prosperity, an advocacy organization that was at Obama's town meeting in Portsmouth, New Hampshire, yesterday afternoon. Corey, do you recognize this sound here?
Here we go. Fight's on.
Corey?
I don't know it well if I know it.
You don't know if you know it?
I don't think I do.
Well, that was not the sound of protests outside the Obama town meeting. That was the sound of the bench-clearing brawl at Fenway Park with the Boston Red Sox against
Comerica
the Detroit Tigers.
Park.
Yeah. Was it a Comerica?
Wasn't it?
In any case, it was a little tame outside the town meeting, Corey. How do you explain that?
Well, inside the town meeting was tame because the president limited access, so he had a very friendly audience. Outside the town meeting was significantly more exciting, where the unions bust in three loads of people and were there to support their president. And then the grassroots were there to make sure that the president understood that we can't afford another $1 trillion piece of legislation.
Well, it's a testimony that the brawling was in the Boston Red Sox. You kept the brawling out of it, which I think is a testimony to democracy. Stick around, Corey. We'll be back with you in just a minute to talk about what happened yesterday. But first, a look at some of the morning's top news stories. Celeste?
In the headlines, U.S. Marines are attacking a Taliban-held town in southern Afghanistan. It's a move to gain control of the area before the presidential elections next week. And moving on to Africa, Secretary of State Hillary Clinton is in Nigeria today. She's expected to take a tough stance on corruption and electoral reform when she meets with the country's president later today.
In Taiwan, the country's military says more than 700 mudslide victims have been found alive in the country's south, but hundreds of others are still missing following Typhoon Morakot. Here in the U.S., President Obama awards 16 people the Presidential Medal of Freedom today. Senator Ted Kennedy, actor Sidney Poitier, and tennis star Billie Jean King are among those set to receive the highest civilian honor. Asian markets dropped today. Most major indices were down more than 1% after Wall Street suffered its biggest loss in 5 weeks. All indices fell more than 1%. The Dow opens today at 9241. The S&P is back below 1,000. It opens at 994, and the NASDAQ kicks off at 1910. So the takeaway question this morning, as Barack Obama tries to control the message and protesters try to take the, let's just say, rhetorical center stage.
High ground, yeah.
Why don't you control the message here on the takeaway? If there's a myth in the healthcare debate, dispel it for us. If there's an issue you think is more important, most important, tell it to us at 877-8-MY-TAKE.
The Takeaway is made possible by Liberty Mutual's Responsibility Project, encouraging discussion about what it means to do the right thing. ResponsibilityProject.com.
The Takeaway is supported by the Corporation for Public Broadcasting and by the John S. and James L. Knight Foundation, advancing journalistic excellence in the digital age. More information about the Foundation's digital initiatives at knightfoundation.org.
You're listening to The Takeaway.
Good morning, everyone. John Hockenberry here with Celeste Headlee. And there was no brawling at the town meeting in Portsmouth, New Hampshire yesterday, but the tension over controlling the message on the health care reform debate is certainly ratcheted up with President Obama's town hall meeting yesterday. There were a lot of people inside the hall yesterday, as Corey suggested there at the top of the hour. It was a tame inside meeting, but there are many, many more people watching and thinking about what the president said and what the protesters continue to say. And that's really the dispute this morning and the discussion this morning. The larger town hall meeting, the president has weighed in. Here's one of the things he said.
Every time we come close to passing health insurance reform, the special interests fight back with everything they've got. They use their inference. They use their political allies to scare and mislead the American people. They start running ads. This is what they always do. We can't let them do it again. Not this time. Not now.
Well, of course, President Obama has some influence and some political allies as well. And so this is a fair fight, to be sure. Kathleen Hall Jamieson joins us now, director of the Annenberg Public Policy Center at the University of Pennsylvania. I mean, really, you were the natural choice to join the program this morning to really give us a sense of where the message stands at this point and how the president did yesterday. What was your overall impression?
Well, first, it was a very effective town hall, in part because it puts in place visuals of individuals who are respectful and overall supportive of this legislation at a time in which the danger for those advocating reform is that the visuals of disrupted meetings will suggest the typicality of those individuals opposing it, and as a result suggest that the public actually opposes the effort. Now, the danger on the other side, of course, is you look at yesterday's town hall and say, unrepresentative individuals are now leading to the generalization that everybody does support it. The other thing that's important about the clip...
But hold on there. It sounds like what you're saying is, at least in the early going, the impression of a tame, constructive town meeting delivers a stronger message than the disruptions we've seen over the last few weeks.
It conveys an alternative message. Essentially, the danger right now for the process is that individuals at meetings are seen by the public watching this as representative of the public as a whole. And if you take the disruptions, which have been featured in news extensively in the last days, and you as an individual sitting at home say, there's a massive effort that is there but representative of public opinion, not of certain interest groups, that opposes the bill, you will think, perhaps I shouldn't support the bill as well. Perhaps there's something wrong with the bill. The president, before he says a word, is suggesting a large group of people applauding him, hence implicitly the bill, are there as well. Hence, at least suspend your judgment about what public opinion says, which is actually a good idea right now, since public opinion is probably very confused in the presence of five different bills and a whole lot of claims and counterclaims.
So to cut through the confusion, the president basically puts on the one hand scare tactics, on the other hand, the status quo isn't working. Here's the sort of rhetorical opening flourish here.
Because for all the scare tactics out there, what is truly scary, what is truly risky, is if we do nothing. If we let this moment pass, if we keep the system the way it is right now, we will continue to see 14,000 Americans lose their health insurance every day.
Now, is he taking a risk here, Kathleen, that Americans see it the way he does here?
What he's trying to do is to make more salient a future in which nothing is done. And the reason that that is so important is that the majority in the United States have health insurance. And if you don't persuade them that there is something in this that is good for them, indeed indispensable for them, you're not going to shape public opinion to support ultimate legislation. And so by arguing that 14,000 will continue to lose insurance, premiums will continue to go up, you're going to increasingly grow the deficit. What he's suggesting is that you shouldn't sit by the sidelines if you're currently insured and assume that that's better than the alternatives that are there. That is the linchpin argument he has to make to sell reform. He then tries to lay in place what his world will look like if, in fact, you pass the reform he advocates. No denial of coverage, no caps on coverage, a limit on out-of-pocket expenses, and cutting that donut hole in half for seniors on prescription drugs. That is the linchpin pivot point of this argument. If he sells it, if those with insurance believe it, health care reform is not simply going to pass, it's going to be accepted in public opinion as a desirable thing to have done.
And here's the president insisting he has political allies and powerful ones at that.
We have the AARP on board because they know this is a good deal for our seniors.
Now, in the interest of fact-checking, Chief Operating Officer of the AARP, Tom Nelson, says yesterday that the group hasn't endorsed any of the bills, so it's a little unclear what the president is saying there, but what do you make of that statement?
It's called a universal rebuttal if, in fact, it's accurate, and the problem is, at this point, it's not yet accurate. If one can say to seniors, don't worry, any argument you hear against bills can't be true. You're not going to be hurt by them. Medicare is not going to be cut. They're not going to be end-of-life decisions forced on you. How do you know that? Because AARP wouldn't support it if that were true. You don't need any further evidence or any further argument. The simple fact that the endorsement is the rebuttal. Unfortunately for the president, it's not yet true that AARP has endorsed any of the five bills currently moving through Congress.
You know, it seems to me the virulent or the strident opposition to the president here takes two forms. People who are worried about Medicare going away and people who are worried about government intervention. Those are contradictory opinions because, of course, Medicare is government intervention. And the president insists that Medicare is fine. He also insists that the government isn't going to come in and meddle. Let's listen to Obama sort of iterating all of the sort of reassuring points that he hopes he can sell here.
Under the reform we're proposing, if you like your doctor, you can keep your doctor. If you like your health care plan, you can keep your health care plan. You will not be waiting in any lines. This is not about putting the government in charge of your health insurance. I don't believe anyone should be in charge of your health insurance decisions but you and your doctor. I don't think government bureaucrats should be meddling, but I also don't think insurance company bureaucrats should be meddling. That's the healthcare system I believe in.
So quickly, Kathleen, a little long for a soundbite, about 32 seconds, but does it stick?
Throughout the whole of the town hall, the president is using insurance companies as the replacement for government bureaucrats. Insurance companies are the problem, and he's talking importantly about health insurance reform, not health care reform. If you accept that the problem is an insurance problem and insurance companies the problem that he is going to address with legislation, then government bureaucrats become less problematic because it's the insurance companies, as he explicitly argues, that are actually doing the rationing. They're doing the bad stuff you're worried about.
The rhetorical battle is joined, best explained there by Kathleen Hall Jamison, director of the Annenberg Public Policy Center at the University of Pennsylvania. Thanks as always.
You're welcome.
That is the sound of protesters yesterday in Portsmouth, New Hampshire, outside the high school where President Obama was talking about health care reform. Yesterday morning, we spoke with Judy Ullman, a New Hampshire teacher who was attending the health care town hall. And we also talked with Corey Lewandowski, who organized an anti-Obama protest outside the town hall meeting. They're both back this morning for a debriefing. Welcome back to the show. Corey, what did you chant yesterday?
Hands off my health care. That's our message. Hands off my health care. And don't let the government get between you and your doctor.
Okay. And Judy, you were inside the town hall meeting. Corey earlier said that it was kind of set up to be a respectful meeting because there was nobody that disagreed. Was that your impression from inside?
My experience, good morning. My experience from inside was that not everybody agreed at all, but it was respectful. And in that sense, it seemed to me to be a model of the kind of discussion we all want to be involved in. Brawls don't settle a problem as deep as this.
Okay. Corey, you guys didn't have a brawl out there, but you did have some very passionate protesters with some pretty striking messages and chants and signs. Do you feel like your message got out in a positive way, in an effective way?
Well, you know, I think overall people are disappointed that the president's motorcade didn't come by where the protesters were. He snuck in the back to avoid the protesters, both in and out. You know, to be fair, the media has done a good job of covering our position. However, this was a staged town hall event, obviously. They limited the amount of people that could get inside. They didn't want real discussion. They didn't want real
debate.
Well,
you can't, I'm sorry, Corey, you can't really blame them for limiting the amount of, I mean, there are fire restrictions on how many people can be inside a room.
The facility held 2,500 people. They put 1,800 people inside the facility. We had a 1,000-person protest outside, if that tells you how visceral of an issue this is. And, you know, they limited the access to the people strictly based on vetting them, and the decision came directly from the White House, which has never been the New Hampshire way.
Okay. That is Corey Lewandowski. He's with the Americans for Prosperity. He was an organizer of a protest yesterday. We're also joined by Judy Ullman, teacher at a community college, and she attended the town hall meeting yesterday. Thanks, guys. This is The Takeaway.
Lots to think about.
You can email us at mytake@thetakeaway.org or call us toll-free at 877-8-MYTAKE.
869-8253.
You know, you can catch the show live Monday through Friday. Thanks for listening. If you have any feedback or think there's any stories we should be covering on The Takeaway, contact us at 1-877-8-MY-TAKE or mytake@thetakeaway.org. See ya.
At Radiolab, we love nothing more than nerding out about science, neuroscience, chemistry.
But we do also like to get into other kinds of stories. Stories about policing or
politics,
country music,
hockey,
sex. Of bugs.
Regardless of whether we're looking at science or not science, we bring a rigorous curiosity to get you the answers.
And hopefully make you see the world anew.
Radiolab, adventures on the edge of what we think we know.
Wherever you get your podcasts.